Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Thursday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. 1 hour from now, NFL meat sandwich. If you bet football, if you play fantasy football, or you just love football, Greg Cosell in 1 hour. I think the smartest 10 minutes of football conversation we have all week. Frank Vogel, coach of the Lakers, in 30 minutes stops by. I told you I saw him at Walgreens earlier this year in L.A. How bizarre is that? The coach of the Lakers pulled his mask down. He's like, coward? I'm like, Frank Vogel? You go to Walgreens too? Joy Taylor's joining me.
Frank Vogel gets special Lakers toothpaste.
I thought it was so random. I'm like, I'm in the whole city of Los Angeles, I'm in a Walgreens right next to the cave. We're the only two people in the store.
Well, I'm sure he's happy to be back in Walgreens buying toothpaste right now.
Overjoyed. So it's great to have you in. So it's very interesting. This is a weekend of clarity in the NFL. There's a lot of big games. The pretenders. We saw Buffalo, Tennessee play the other night, and it's like, maybe Buffalo's a little bit of a pretender. Tennessee is absolutely legitimate. And we're going to see Green Bay and Tampa Bay and all these games this weekend, and Cleveland and Baltimore. You know, it's very funny. The Dallas Cowboys play Arizona. The schedule gets pretty weak for them right now. Very winnable games. And the feeling is Dak is gone and Andy Dalton's in. I want to remind you that what your replacements do will often define you when you don't go to work. So when Drew Brees got hurt last year, Teddy Bridgewater came in, went 5-0. What did it do? It got Teddy Bridgewater a franchise quarterback contract. And it also affirmed that Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater, it's not much of a gap. And it turned out that Teddy's now winning, and Drew's not winning anymore in New Orleans with a better roster. When Cam Newton missed the Kansas City game this year, didn't play. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my God. That's a bad football team without Cam Newton. So Brees not playing probably hurt his status. Cam not playing totally elevated his status. So what will it do for Dak Prescott? The feeling is Andy Dalton. You know, we've seen this act before. It's not very good. This put this old dude to rest. This is, you know, he'll play a couple games. And in fact, Patrick Peterson, Arizona, great player, saying, hey, man, we just want to force this cat to throw the ball this weekend.
Stop the run. Definitely got to stop the run and force, not saying that he can't do it, but, you know, we have to force Andy Dalton to beat us. We feel if you take the ball out of Elliott's hands, there's more opportunities for bad things to happen when the ball is in the air.
That's interesting. If I asked you, I'm going to throw this out there. Dak and Dalton, which one has had the season with the most touchdown passes? Well, that would be obvious. That would be Andy Dalton, 33, in dysfunctional Cincinnati with a defensive coach. All right, which guy has had the most back-to-back double-digit win seasons? Well, that would be, well, Dak's never had that. That would be Andy Dalton, 4 seasons in a row. And by the way, he was in a division with Pittsburgh, always competent, and Baltimore, usually competent. Did everybody know that Andy Dalton's 32? No major history of injuries. He chose Texas because he's from there. He's from Katy, Texas. Andy Dalton's not a stiff. You watched last week, right? You watched that last drive, and you're like, your expectations of Andy Dalton are so low. And all of a sudden, you watch that drive, and it's like, I'm not saying he's as mobile as Dak, but you watch the tape. Look at the film. Look at these throws. That's a big boy NFL throw. Watch this throw. Seems to me that's a big boy NFL throw. He's 32. The Cowboys' schedule now is the weakest in the league for the next few weeks. Arizona, then it's Washington, beat up Philadelphia, face Pittsburgh, then they get a bye. But then it's a lot of Washington and Cincinnati, and 49ers can't get their act together, and home against Philadelphia and close the season out. Andy Dalton, when he was in Cincinnati, equally dysfunctional to Dallas, with a defensive coach, a conservative coach. We call Mike McCarthy a conservative coach. But when Andy was in that division 6-7 years ago and they had a bunch of weapons, he wasn't asked to carry the franchise. He was asked to be a distributor. He kept winning the division. So Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Brees not playing, didn't do him any favors. Helped Teddy Bridgewater. Cam not playing did him huge favors. I just want to remind you, the first 4 years in the NFL, Dak and Andy Dalton, we threw the numbers out. It's the same dude. Now, I think I'd take Dak over Dalton. And I've, over the years, been much tougher on Dalton than Dak because they called him the Red Rifle. And I'm like, he doesn't deserve a nickname. Let's get off the Red Rifle nonsense. But the idea there's this massive gap, there really isn't. Dalton was drafted higher. Dalton had a very productive college career. Dalton has had more double-digit win seasons. Dalton's had the more touchdown passes in one season. And he is a distributor. He's a distributor, and this team is built, frankly, for somebody who's a distributor. So it's interesting. Arizona's takeaway this weekend is just force Andy Dalton to throw. That's actually, when he had good weapons, the best thing he did and the hardest way to beat him. All right, so Alabama coach Nick Saban is going to miss the game this weekend against Georgia. It's by far and away the best game of the weekend. It's probably going to be the best college football game this season. It's really, really good, right? It's going to be on a short list of great games. So Nick Saban's got COVID. He came out and he said, listen, protect. We don't know how we got it. We wear masks. We socially distance. He was very responsible, but they got it. Here's what's remarkable. The average NFL star player is not worth a point. The average college football player is not worth half a point. Nick Saban, by just not being in the stadium Saturday, it changed the line 2.5 points. Now, I want you to think about this. The assistant that will take it over is Steve Sarkisian. He has coached 2 major programs, has a winning record, has won bowl games. Alabama's also had the same system in for 10, 12 years. This is not a new system. And because he can't be there just for the game, it almost changes it by a field goal. The gap between Nick Saban now and the second best college coach, and I'll get to that in a second. I mean, he's literally, would this happen with any other coach? He had Zoom meetings this week. He was coaching them this week on Zoom. The system's installed. Sark's been there for years. This is unbelievable that it's almost a field goal difference. And it's funny. One of the things I always liked about Saban, there's a sense that he's rigid. But the truth is, he's really not. He's evolved his offense every year. Every year. He's made the life for his student athletes really amazing. They really support their kids academically. They support them emotionally. I was talking to a therapist yesterday about this in football. Saban offers layers and layers and layers of therapists, life coach, life strategists. Alabama football players go on to very productive lives. He's never had an NCAA violation of note. Very few of his kids get into trouble. He's lost 12 coordinators. That's what I counted this morning. Now, think about that. When Pete Carroll and Mack Brown at USC and Texas, legendary programs, when they started losing coordinators, the programs were never the same. Urban Meyer's an amazing coach. When he lost Charlie Strong, and I think like a Dan Mullen, Florida never felt the same. Nick Saban's lost 12 coordinators. Hasn't missed a beat. No NCAA stuff. Mostly good kids go on to productive lives. He keeps evolving offensively. He's just missing the game this week. Just the game. He's there on Zoom meetings. The offense is installed. And the Fox bet, those guys are like, oh, it's like 3 points. That's 2.5 points. The only coach in my lifetime that really is close to him, and this is somebody I have a lot of respect for because I know Nick and I like Nick a lot, is Tom Osborne. His last 5 years at Nebraska, he went 60-3. And his last year, 13-0, walk-off, one of the great teams of all time. He's, to me, the second best coach in the history of college football. And one of the reasons is, like Nick Saban, he really evolved. Woody Hayes became kind of a relic. Joe Pa was kind of a relic. Some of these guys, like, you know, and people I like Bobby Bowden, they're not really running the program. you know, they show up and sign five or six kids. They show up to the house. Mom and dad like them. But the coordinators are running the offense. The coordinators are running recruiting. The coordinators are running the program. Nick Saban is like 66 years old because he's just not going to be at the game. Changes the spread significantly. It's like this guy is just separated. I mean, to me, it's Saban, it's Osborne, probably Bear Bryant, and then you can argue over the last one. But I was shocked, but he has a head coach as an assistant who has won bowl games and won at two programs. He's got a defensive system that's been in forever. He's also not only lost coordinators, they often go get jobs in his conference, take all his secrets, and coach against him. And they're still there. I mean, can you imagine? You work at a company, it could be Coke. You lose many executives. They go over to the other place. They go up against you. They know all your trade secrets at Pepsi. You'd be a struggle, right? Like, oh my gosh. Nick's coaching against his former assistants every other weekend. No dip in the quality of the program. It really is remarkable. I've watched these great programs. Florida, Texas, USC, Nebraska. They lose a top coordinator or two, and the program just goes down. He's lost 11 or 12. I lost count this morning. I think he's had seven offensive coordinators. And he's coaching against Lane, and he's coaching against Kirby Smart, and he's coaching against the kid at Tennessee. Every weekend he faces somebody that has all his trade secrets. It's remarkable. Wish coach well. All right. My first, you know, Joy, I do this. I have what I call the Super Bowl bubble.
Oh, it's the first Super Bowl bubble?
We're introduced. It's only eight teams. I always believe there's eight teams every year that can win the Super Bowl. Out of 32. And I have my first Super Bowl bubble. I feel really good about it. This weekend, a chance to knock two or three out and put two or three in. But I feel really secure about seven of the eight, six of the eight, I feel very strongly about. And I do feel there's a team in the bubble that is easily the most complete team, and it's not the Kansas City Chiefs.
Have we ever said bubble so much in one year?
No kidding. No kidding. Our first bubble.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Michelin Endurance XT Silicone Wiper Blades, real world tough, available at Walmart. Last two times longer than other blades. So excited to talk to Frank Vogel today. I'm really happy. I went out and saw a buddy last night and had a couple beers, and he knows Frank Vogel, and he was so happy for him. Everybody's happy for Frank Vogel. And so, of course, Miami's not that happy for him. So I do Super Bowl bubbles, and I usually wait for about a month to watch it. And my Super Bowl bubble, I always believe there's eight teams good enough to get to a conference championship. And if you're good enough to get to a conference championship, then you're good enough to win. So four teams get to a conference championship. And I think there's eight teams at any one point in an NFL season after the first month. And then there's always two or three that are close but not quite there. They miss a component. So this is my first Super Bowl bubble of the year. Here it is. This is official. The Rams, Bills, and Saints are close. In fact, the Rams and the Bills played to the last play of a game. In the AFC, it's New England with Cam, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. And it just so happens in the NFC, it's Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers, and the Seattle Seahawks. I will say this morning, Green Bay to me feels like the best team in America and the least flawed team. And there's a reason for it. There's three stats that are very important, and Green Bay is really good at all of them. Number one, Green Bay leads the NFL in yards per play, almost 7 yards a play. What does that mean? They're explosive. They can get cheaper touchdowns, free touchdowns. They make things happen. Number two is third down conversion rate. They're top five in the NFL. What does that mean? Generally means you have a good offensive line, you get a push on third and short, you have a veteran quarterback who can audible in and out of trouble. They have Aaron Rodgers. And the third thing is what they call sack differential. They're top three in the NFL, meaning they get to your quarterback and you don't get to theirs. So those are three stats. They're very good. I do not believe they have a hole. I do worry about Devontae Adams' health, but every other team has a hole. Seattle and Tennessee in my bubble, neither has a pass rush. Let's be honest about Tampa Bay. There's some mobility issues with the quarterback they have, and their discipline is frighteningly bad at times with Tampa. New England, no deep threat. It tends to be kind of run-centric. Baltimore doesn't play well from behind, and Pittsburgh keeps beating bad teams and letting them stick around. Kansas City, why do they keep falling behind? It's almost as if psychologically Kansas City feels like, yeah, Patrick will save us. You can't keep falling behind by 10 and 14 points. That's just not the way it works. You can't do it in this league. You're going to end up facing with your defense and offense that just keeps the ball away and you lose games. So I think we have a best team in the NFL, Green Bay. I think we have close. Cleveland-Pittsburgh plays this weekend. If Cleveland wins, then I think I would get them closer to the bubble. But it's New England, Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and I've got some reservations on Pittsburgh, but I trust them right now defensively more than I do Buffalo's defense and LA's defense, and I think they're more explosive offensively potentially than New Orleans' offense. So my eight are New England, Baltimore, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, Tennessee, Seattle, and the Green Bay Packers. Yes, I put Tennessee in there after they bludgeon Buffalo. What am I supposed to not be impressed by? They're doing everything well. They don't have a pass rush, but they do everything else really well. Here's Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Daryl Morey is reportedly stepping down as the Rockets' general manager. According to Woj, Morey approached Tillman Fertitta with the idea of leaving after the Rockets left the bubble. Both sides worked quietly through an exit agreement to end his 13 seasons running the franchise's basketball operations.
Did I say this to you yesterday? The Houston Rockets is the worst good job in sports.
Worst,
the coach.
Because we were talking about Ty Lue.
It's not going to work. Harden and Westbrook are going to eventually face teams in the playoffs, and they're just situationally not built to play together. They'll be fun. You'll win a bunch of games, and I think Ty Lue's a good choice. But I think that operation right now, I think you're kind of tied to Westbrook's contract. I think Harden, I had this conversation last night with somebody around the NBA. He's obviously an unbelievable scorer, but we've got like now history on the playoff stuff, and never will he ever set a screen for somebody. Will he get back and guard the best player on the other team? So I think Daryl Morey's actually making the right move here. I really do.
Well, he's going to stay around in sort of an advisory role for a short period to help them hire the new head coach. They are reportedly planning to promote executive vice president of basketball operations Raphael Stone to general manager and Eli Wittes to assistant general manager. So they may be promoting with in-house for the GM position, but Morey's going to work with them on the head coaching position.
He'll get a gig.
Well, so there's a couple things at play here. Obviously, everyone's going to refer to the China situation, which was a disaster. There's no other way to put it. It cost the league $400 million.
It was bad for Morey. It was
bad for the entire league.
It was bad for everybody.
I can't get on Twitter a day without somebody telling me how much the NBA doesn't care about China off their iPhone.
Yeah.
But that was obviously an issue. He has two college-age kids who are taking a year off from school because of the pandemic, so he may just be wanting to take a break and spend some time with them.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had your daughter around like this unprecedented times. Yeah. It's like you would never ever get this opportunity to spend that much time with your kids in this situation. Also, he has a lot of other things going on. So there could have been multiple factors in this exit. Also, you know, they may have just reached the end of the road with what they were able to do. Like we talk about the Rockets not being able to get over the hump. Obviously not all on Morey, but you know, sometimes just situations end.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, it's not that I didn't feel like this was coming, but I don't think it has to do with just the China situation.
No, I don't either.
Because the owner was very supportive of him throughout that
as
well.
Yeah, no, I just think sometimes in any business, Joy, things run their course.
Yeah.
And I think this Daryl there, he's going to get work. I know Daryl pretty well. He's a really good guy. He's very respected. Sometimes, you know, Pat Riley always says, after 10 years, you're just white noise. Like, nobody listens to your message. And that's why Spoelstra, by the way, works now, because it's all new players. Spoelstra's got all these kids, so he gets, like, 9 more years of the message until they, like,
okay. Well, that's why in college football, you can be there for so long. You're getting
new kids every year. Right. So it doesn't mean it's the end of anything. Harden will still be great. The Rockets will still be viable. Morey will still get a job. Ty Lue, to me, is the best fit. Houston's going to be fine, but this time was coming.
And it's not like they didn't have success there. They had the league's longest consecutive playoff appearance streak with 8. They advanced every single year. Yes. They just never got over the hump. Right. So, I mean, obviously they didn't reach ultimate success of winning a championship, which was the expectation. But Morey will be fine, and the Rockets are moving in a different direction.
Right.
So the Jets moved on from Le'Veon Bell, but it doesn't sound like he'll be a free agent for long. Jeremy Fowler is reporting that Le'Veon has narrowed it down to three teams. He's choosing between the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Dolphins.
Oh, the Chiefs. They need a red zone running back.
His decision could come today. Le'Veon Bell and Patrick Mahomes just followed each other on Twitter.
Yeah.
Le'Veon, maybe something to that.
I know you're not watching. Le'Veon Bell, choose Kansas City. It's nothing against Brian Flores or Sean McDermott, defensive coaches. What did we say yesterday? If you're a running back or receiver, tight end.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton or Andy Reid are like, we're kind of interested. Go to Kansas City. Just go to – they could actually – he'd be a great red zone piece running back for them.
Could you – I mean, it's going to happen if he goes there because it's Andy Reid.
Oh, it's going to work in 2 weeks.
But it's going to work. He's going to have a tremendous rest of the season, possibly go to a Super Bowl, and you've got Adam Gase and the Jets sitting there doing what the Jets do. They'll be on the hook for $6 million in base salary for Bell this season. They also take a $15 million dead cap money hit this season and $4 million in 2021.
Joy, before Christian McCaffrey, Le'Veon Bell as a receiving running back was Christian McCaffrey. He was the best receiver at running back in the league. People said Le'Veon Bell could be a receiver. They say about Christian McCaffrey, oh, he could be a receiver in the NFL.
He has amazing hands, but he has such a unique running style, just with that little delay and waiting for the blocks. He just needs to be in the right situation. He was in the right situation in Pittsburgh, wanted more money. It's understandable. You can do whatever you want with your career. The Jets is the Jets the right situation for anyone at this point? Who knows? But they are going to be paying him for a while, and any team that signs him can do so for the league minimum, although he'll likely get more. Finally, Baker Mayfield suffered a rib injury last weekend against the Colts, but he's confident he will be able to play through it. He plays the Steelers on Sunday, and Cam Hayward says Pittsburgh's defense is going to stick to their aggressive game plan against Baker.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know, how bruised up he is. And at the end of the day, I'm just trying to inflict good punishment. You know, we play a physical game. He's going to come out there and try to be a warrior for his team. But it's up to us to make him think about that injury during the game.
It's really interesting because the betting part of me likes Cleveland because I think they're a real team. They're much more disciplined. Pittsburgh has one unit, their front seven, that is so good. But I keep going back to this. Pittsburgh has beaten bad teams, and they're letting all of them hang around. They let a Denver team on with Jeff Driskel hang around until the end.
They do have a solid defense though.
Oh, it's you can't run against the Steelers.
This will be a great game because it's a division game, it's a rivalry game, and the Browns are actually good this year. The Steelers defense is tied with the Rams for the most sacks in the league at 20, sixth in points allowed per game, and third in yards allowed per game. Baker was only sacked once against the Colts, seven times this season. I mean, when you think about how much Joe Burrow's been sacked, and
you
compare
say
that to Baker?
Joe Burrow is on pace to be sacked
70 times.
Now, Andrew Luck, who was a pinata, got sacked like 48 times.
Yeah, Derek Carr, I think, I want to say, it's in the 60s.
David Carr,
yeah, I'm sorry.
60s, and it basically people thought it ended his career.
Yeah.
So Burrow's going to get sacked at least 70 times.
And Baker's only been sacked seven times this season. He's taken 15 quarterback hits over the entire season.
Yeah.
The hit was from Justin Houston from the Colts in the last game. X-rays were negative, but you know, to Cam's point, like they know this is. That's why I'm kind of with you. Like when you put these injuries out there, like the defense knows their whole game plan is going to be to go after Baker.
I've never understood this. From a litigious standpoint, why in God's name in the NFL should you have to put the injuries out to the public, outside of gamblers?
I mean, I can see if you're like somebody's out.
Well, yeah,
right?
Just say he's out.
Yeah.
But I don't want to hear, my right guard's got a sprained knee. Why would I want that out there?
I don't know.
Mark Schlereth told me he'd be like, oh, I know that defensive tackle's got a bad.
Oh, they all know.
They target you. It's like, outside of gambling, I don't get the point. Gamblers love it.
Well, right, of course. But that's obviously a huge part of it. But like, what's the obligation to the long term and to the player?
Crazy. Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
So
news.
I have this theory that it's always the third thing that makes you leave a relationship or a restaurant or a town. I'll give you an example. Los Angeles is very expensive and the traffic is not good, but the food's great and the weather's great and there's a ton to do. So a lot of people stay here. New York was interesting. With COVID, New York's had a lot of people leave. Why? Because it's really expensive, it's really crowded, and when you couldn't go to the cool stuff that New York offers and they shut it all down, weather ain't great. You get to it's a third thing, like a restaurant. I'll go and think it's a little expensive, the food's a little fatty. But unless the service is lousy, I'm going if it tastes great. So the third thing in a relationship, you know, he doesn't make any money, and he doesn't shower regularly. You could live with that. But if he's a jerk, then she dumps you. So don't be a third. This is the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. So Jimmy Garoppolo has a judgment issue. Adult film star, franchise quarterback, not good enough. John Lynch was pissed. So was his coach. He's got a judgment issue. Makes some bad throws, judgment. Also, he kind of can be inconsistent. Week to week, half to half. Here's another problem now, and this is why I think he's in trouble. It's not missing the receiver in the Super Bowl. Folks, he's hurt again. And Kyle Shanahan said yesterday, we would bench him again if he's hurt. In his division, Jared Goff got the crap beat out of him for 3 years at Cal. He got the crap beat out of him when Jeff Fisher was the coach. Jared Goff's taken a lot of hits, never missed a start. Russell Wilson, college pro, never missed a start. Kyler Murray, college pro, never missed a start. I looked it up this morning. Jimmy Garoppolo now has missed 17 starts. It's that third thing, the judgment. That's why I always say, don't give teams Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel, Jameis Winston. Don't give them bad judgment because that you come into a room and they got a mark. Because as a young quarterback, you're going to be inconsistent. So you're up to two. You give them a third, they're out. Like Baker, Jameis, and Johnny came in with judgment issues. You've got to check. That's like going into a relationship and she knows the people you've dated and she knows he's occasionally a jerk. You got to check against you in the relationship. You haven't even gone out on a date yet. So Garoppolo, his judgment flawed. That was a really bad situation as a Niner quarterback, a superstar potentially in the league, going out with an adult film star. I'm not judgmental. I'm not a moralist. Anybody else, fine. Not my franchise quarterback. Then we've seen inconsistency in his play. Okay, Sean. Yeah. He's missed 17 starts. Last week, they took him out. He can't play. Like, you're getting to a point where, and that's why Carson Wentz has a longer runway. You know, Carson Wentz has been inconsistent, and he's got some injuries. But I can't think of a third. They like him. He works hard. He's got the arm, the talent. So this is the situation for Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. You're starting to get me into a third check. And that's just the way it's always worked. I've always been like with friends. I can be okay if you're occasionally. I'm Doug Gottlieb's friend. He's always late. He's late every time. So there's a check against him. Two more, he's done. He's already got a check. He's late for everything. You invite Doug over at 7 at 7:45. I just now lie. Show up at 6. He gets there at 7:15 where everybody else is there. But you get to that third check mark. That's when you leave cities. I left Connecticut. Winter's awful. Most boring state in the world. Nice people. Most boring state in the world. And at the end, I didn't love the workplace. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, I'm out. Right? So if L.A. starts being 19 degrees, I'm out of here because the weather and the food and the people are keeping me. Expense, traffic, not great. Frank Vogel, coach of the Lakers. Happy for him. NBA championship head coach Frank Vogel coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
You know, it is interesting. I'm reading a story. Jamal Williams of the Packers. Packers play the Buccaneers this weekend, so Rodgers against Brady. And Jamal Williams says, you know, I'm pretty sure my quarterback knows when fourth down is. The cheap shot. But it is interesting about this. There's been a lot made that Brady forgot fourth down. Let me ask you something. I'll ask Joy and I'll ask John this. I think we've made way too much of this. During the pandemic, March and April, many of us, many of you, didn't work. Like, we couldn't work, right? We couldn't go to work. We worked from home. Did you ever one time wake up and go, what the hell day is it?
Yeah, I missed a whole week, actually.
Okay, so think about that. Because I had one of those days. So I had lived an entire Monday. I was reminded of it on my phone. I was reminded of it watching television. And I would forget what day it is. Tom Brady, new team, new system, new coordinator, no preseason, no OTAs, on the road, short week, top defense, forgot what down it was. Folks, you and I forgot what day it was during the pandemic. I mean, in the throes of it. Like, it happens. In 20 years, you forget what down it is. I mean, I can remember March and April literally waking up in the morning and not sure. I'm like, oh, I'm not working today, so today is Saturday. I was losing track of days. It happens. It happens to young people and old people. Joy's young, vibrant. I'm not. She forgot days. Frank Vogel, first year as a Laker coach, 6 years in Indiana, a couple years in Orlando. I was talking to my buddy Ryan Russillo last night, who loves the NBA. We were having a beer, and we were so happy for Frank Vogel. And because we always thought, this is a really good coach. He just needs the perfect situation. And he is now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times when you get stars, Frank, it's like, okay, do the personalities work? Do the styles work? Will they work with our other assembled pieces? We thought, Joy and I said, that Anthony and LeBron, it's like they worked instantaneously. Take me to the first practices, the first five or six practices, Frank. Did you think to yourself, wow, this is pretty good, pretty fast?
Well, yeah, I did. And, you know, obviously being the first year as the Lakers coach and with this roster coming together, you know, all overnight, basically in the offseason, you know, we expected it to take some time before we really started to gel. Those two seem to have instant chemistry both on and off the court. And, you know, I think, you know, when it starts off the court and the relationship is strong and then you see the skill sets match up on the court on both sides of the ball, you know, I would say as well. We had a strong belief that we had a chance to come out of the gates pretty strong, and we did.
Frank, I had said all year, I said, I've never seen a team in my 40 years watching the league that doesn't have a dependable third star that can win a championship as good as they are. So that was my takeaway, is that who's going to be the third guy? Almost every championship team needed that. Was there ever a moment for you during the season that you were concerned that I'm not quite sure if it's Danny, is it Rondo, is it Kyle Kuzma? Was that ever a concern for you or your staff?
I would say it was a small concern, but I never felt like there was that need. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like, you know, we were going to have two guys that were going to bring it every night and put up MVP type numbers. And, you know, to me, the rest of it came with ball movement and all five guys being empowered to be aggressive offensively. And I actually liked the dynamic that it could be a different guy every night. I like that part of our identity because it's harder to game plan against that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know if it's going to be Rondo. You don't know if KCP is going to get hot from perimeter or Avery Bradley early in the year, or your bigs are going to dominate on the glass. Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. I mean, it really literally was a different guy every night type of dynamic for our team, and I think it really worked for us.
I've said for years that the most underrated part of the NBA, great teams, all highly functioning IQs. The bad boys in Detroit, how many of those guys were coaches or GMs? They were all these tough guys, and you're like, no. It's one of the smartest basketball teams ever. The Miami Heat dynasty, I thought, I've told Joy this, it may have been the smartest collection of basketball players. You could have like seven guys be GMs on that team. Your roster, Rondo, LeBron, I mean, I'm just throwing guys that have been around Danny Green. Take me into Rondo, because I thought he was washed. And then the last two series, I'm like, he is so in the head of Denver. He is so, tell me what you can do with Rondo and guys like that that you may not be able to do with a young kid or a young player.
Well, you can do things you've never done before as a team. You know what I mean? And as a coach, that always makes you very nervous, especially, you know, again, this is not a team that's been together or a coaching staff that's been together 4 or 5 years with a system and everything. So, you know, with guys being able to pick things up that quickly, experienced guys that have seen a lot of different things, know how to execute different coverages, you know, different offensive spacing types of things. You know, that was a great benefit of our team this year. And I would put Anthony Davis in that class too, as being an extremely intelligent player. And, you know, when they start telling the story of the LA Lakers, the intelligence piece is definitely going to be at the forefront.
Yeah, no, it needs to be. I mean, most championship teams, you go to the Lakers, they become executives, they become coaches. And this is a thinking man's game because so much of it's situational. Now, you coached against LeBron for years. And obviously, we know how great he is. I mean, you know, I've watched 90% of his games. But when you now have LeBron and you have him at practice and team planes and the bubble, was there a moment early in it that you're like, wow, like I didn't see this, or boy, this is an additive. This is, or he even surpassed your expectations seeing him every day, all day?
Yeah, I think both in the early on in the film room and on the court, the film room in particular, you know, I'm a junkie with studying the tape, and I can't get enough of it. You know, I like to do it. Probably too long at times, but there were some times early in the season where, you know, the film was running a little bit long. I knew I had to cut it, and he kept just answering questions, like asking questions and putting guys, hey, what about this? And if we do this, they got to, you know, if they do that, we got to do this. And, you know, hey, coach, what do you think about this spacing? And he was so engaged in these film sessions, even, you know, after the first 5-10 minutes, which is where most people and most players, you know, that's their time to check out.
Right.
He kept it going 20, 30, 40, 45 minutes into the film session. And when you're lying in the locker room, is that attentive to what's going on? The rest of the guys are too. And you have a chance to really improve your team without even touching the court. And I would say the same type of mindset with all our drill work and spacing that we were putting in practice.
You know, it's interesting. You were number one seed in the West. Now you're a championship team. And so it's very natural, Frank, for players to think, listen, we know what we are when it matters. How do you get this team, which is a lot of veterans, that you guys breathe? I mean, let's be honest. These were not seven-game series. You took care of people quickly. How do you instill a sense of urgency for your second act now, that you're ready to go in February and March? Because that can be a problem for championship teams.
Right. Well, you know, what worked for us this year is that, you know, the identity we try to create early in the season is that we were going to play harder than our opponent every time we touch the floor. And that habit alone is going to be one of the most important habits that will win for us in the playoffs. So, you know, to have that mindset, that's how we got out of the gates 18-1 or whatever we were to start. And, you know, obviously throughout the course of the season, earned the number one seed, and we're the best regular season team in the West. You know, those habits that we built throughout the year, we talked all year, like these are the habits that are going to win for us in the playoffs. And, you know, it's not a light switch, and it's a play harder than your opponent habit. And, you know, I think that'll be the same mindset next year, knowing that, you know, that habit established over a quote unquote 82 game season is going to be the very thing that is going to win for you in the playoffs.
Anthony Davis may be one of the best defensive bigs I've ever seen in my life. I it's hard to explain. Like, take a minute left. Give me basketball context. Like, what does he allow you to do? I just think Rasheed Wallace, I covered him for years. I thought he was a great defensive big. Rasheed could cover anybody. What does Anthony Davis do for you?
Well, you said it right there. He can cover anybody. It starts right there. You can put him on point guards. You put him on Jimmy Butler in the playoffs. You put him on Jamal Murray, Dame Lillard. We would have him switching out onto Dame Lillard. You know, the ability to just put a guy out there that can guard anybody on the floor, even the best scorers in the whole world. You know, it starts there. But, you know, his feet, his length, his ability to protect the rim and understand coverages. Again, the intelligence piece is what people don't understand about Anthony Davis. There's a lot of shot blockers that don't understand the discipline of the coverages, the angles that you have to take, all these types of things. And he really picked all that stuff up very quickly with our group, with how we wanted him to play. And, you know, was just a star on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you can see when he blocks shots, too. He often blocks it with a purpose. He's blocking it to somebody, to a space to get the fast break off and running. Frank Vogel, well, I've never won an NBA championship, but I bet the wine tastes a little sweeter. Just a little lighter on your feet. Congratulations. Me and Ryan Russillo, we were talking last night having a beer about you're one of those guys that just needed the right fit. You got it. We couldn't be happier, and congrats to you.
Well, Ryan's great. I've always enjoyed, our interviews, Colin, and look forward to seeing you around town.
Yep. Thanks. Frank Vogel, coach of the Lakers, his first championship. He does live. Bumped into him at a Walgreens. Both getting our toothpaste at the same place. that team was so functional situationally. You saw it against Denver, and you saw it like it just all guys, like getting the angles, understanding young guys, getting where to be, the spacing. Boy, Anthony Davis is good defensively. I mean, he is in a Bill Russell. I mean, really is. He's in a Bill Russell class. He is incredible. Greg Cosell next.